going to our event. We're going to see a concert. And we're going to see Metallica live. Now, yeah, I totally tricked my wife. You know, I played the slow song. Nothing is
amazing. Oh, I like that song. It's not so scary.
Yeah, see? They changed. They evolved.
So we get to the show, all right? And we get there. We sit out. I forget. I'm domesticated now. She's like, is there a brochure? I'm like, all right. We're looking around the stadium, brochure, whatever. Now, here's when you know you're too old to be going to concerts. First of all, the name of the bands is already a tragic mistake. Here's the opener. So you ready for this? Just the names. Anthrax, Megadeth, and Slayer. Okay. All right. Did you hear? All right. You hear that? Let me tell you something about Slayer fans. That was the scariest time of my life when the Slayer fans showed up. That's the first time I feared my own race. I'm not even kidding you. I feared my own race. They look like the extras from Lord of the Rings. Right before Slayer came out, someone came out and...
Slayer fans.
They came out of nowhere, under the ground, tattooing their faces.
Slayer! Slayer! We're here to witness Slayer!
And I'm hovering my wife, like, everything's gonna be okay. We're only gonna be on for like 15 minutes. We're gonna be safe. So Slayer's about to go on right before Metallica. The lights go out. Now, I forget I'm domesticated, so when the lights go out of show, I still get that giddy feeling. It's so starting. Because I'm used to, you know, Beauty and the Beast. Why are they so mean to the Beast?
They don't get better, Daddy.
So the lights go out, and I hear, and I, is there a train coming? And I turn around, and there's about 500 Slayer fans, and they're heading right for the stage, and they're not using the aisles to get there. Chairs are being flung, people flying up in the air. I looked at my wife like, every man for himself.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town. Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Can you
describe the ruckus, sir?
Does this mean we're not
friends anymore? I'm in my prime.
Hey, Mike. Ain't it cool?
First you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me. Blow. Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
What up, everyone? DJ Anubis.
And DJ Necco.
Here with you on the Metal Time Radio podcast, doing another Classic Reflections. How are you doing?
You know, it's been a week. Everything that's going on with work and the grind and the bullshit, and then, you know, we are in Baltimore, so the tragedy of the Key Bridge sucks.
Yeah.
But, like, we're kind of in an area, it's called Southeastern, literally. We're Southeastern Baltimore, and that is what the Key Bridge connected the southeastern part of Baltimore to the rest of, like, the world. The only other way that we can get to shit is driving into the city and then taking the other main highways or driving through the city. Now, what that has done to me is I already work, you know, like 10-hour days anyway, and in the morning it's not so bad. Like, I got up, I got my gas, I got my Red Bull this morning, I get on the highway, and it's boom, bam, boom, I'm there in 30 minutes. That's the average, what I used to take going to work. Every day this week, it has been 1 hour and 15 minutes to 2.5 hours to get home since the issue with the bridge, and I'm trying to, you know, just deal with it.
It's like we didn't quite get out of Baltimore fast enough, because this is going to take about 3 to 5 years to try to repair this bridge. So
this
is going to be an ongoing problem. Because remember, you had just gone out on boats, I think, and they were doing all that bridge work, and they were shutting down. It was like traffic all the time going over the bridge.
Oh, that's right, because the bridge is always being maintained.
Yeah.
Like, it was, if you hear any shit about it, like, the bridge was always being maintained. It's just the type of bridge that it is it's an archway.
Yeah.
And because it has, like, two main supports, you know.
Once you hit one,
and honestly, that ship was massive. Like, I've been next to them on the ships that I used to work on, and they're massive next to the ship that I worked on. So, it was something unprecedented at all.
Yeah.
And
when people are talking, they're like, you know, when they go to repair, just make a brand new one. Because, you know, time has passed. Technology is better.
It's been up. My parents were.
It was started in 72 and finished in 75, I think.
No, so. it was like 77 or 79. Yeah. I can't remember. They announced it was its 40th birthday, like right before the bridge collapsed. It was crazy. My parents.
Happy birthday.
My parents told me. I'm trying to do the shady math, because it was still fairly new when I was a baby. My mom and dad, like, they said, like, that's what you used to have to do. That's why they used to be in, you know, Baltimore a lot more, like, in the city, because they lived in this area where we are. But, you know, to work and stuff, it was you had to go into the city, or you had to go into the city and take the highways through the city. And it was such a big deal, because connecting, you know, us to the rest of the world without having to, like, when I say going through the city, it's not like it's just congested. It's the city's going to hell right now, and 1,000 stoplights. Like, for me to get on the bridge, there were zero traffic lights. I just zip on to the main highway and be on my way, where now I have a minimum, I think it's
seven
traffic lights.
You know,
10 actually.
Tractor trailers and stuff that.
Yeah, they can't go through the tunnels. A lot of tractor trailers are too big to go through the tunnels, or they're carrying hazardous loads.
Yep, so they have to go 895, which is like a smaller bridge, 2-lane bridge, and so it just, congestion just builds up, and especially on certain days, because I'm assuming Monday and Fridays are big traveling days for tractor trailers, so.
And on top of that, you've got all these people like myself on top of the people who regularly.
We haven't got through the summer yet. Yeah. When I go to beaches and shit, because that's going to be a pain in the ass.
Regularly traveled, yes, because that bridge connected to Anne Arundel County, which then connected into southern Anne Arundel County, which connected to the Eastern Shore. And that, yep. Like, people, when they went to travel to the beach, that's the way that they went.
Yep.
And, you know, you got tons of people just like me who use that to commute. And then the regular commuters using the other highways, it's a shit show. When I have my work Fridays, I'm off every other Friday, but I work today, and I leave at 3:30. Well, you know, that's because I get there at 7 o'clock every morning, and I left, boom, zipped out the door at 3:30, and I get all the way down to the city from where I am, and then you sit for 30 minutes because it's so congested to get through the tunnel. And I know I shouldn't be bitching about my commute when people lost their lives, but this is going to be a huge impact, not just with the death of the six construction workers who were working on the bridge that evening, but the Baltimore port gets ships every day. Not just container ships, but they get all types of ships, fuel ships, cruise. We have a cruise terminal. My old company had ships that came in and out of there. And there's a lot of people who are longshoremen or crane operators or heavy equipment operators. It's going to be interesting to see how long it takes before the actual port is operational again.
Yeah, so needless to say, it's kind been of a hell of a week as you know, people to have to work and transport and commute. But the album I chose for this Reflections is a good one to listen to when you're trying to get the stress out.
Oh, really? What is it, baby?
We are going with 1989's Los Rockets Annihilation Principle. Excuse me.
Now, I can tell you this. I've never listened to it from beginning to end ever, so this is going to be a first for me, and that's going to be fun.
Yep. So they are a band, American thrash band from San Francisco, formed in 1981. This album in particular, this is a band that kind of crossed over different genres in their career, from heavy metal to power metal to thrash metal. But this era around the late 80s was more thrash oriented, and this record is very much thrash and one of my favorite thrash albums ever. So they were also notable in the South Bay area as the Big Six, and it was among other bands like Exodus, Testament, Death Angel, Forbidden, and Violence. So, you know, the Bay Area was a big hotspot for thrash in the 80s, and eventually when Metallica was out of L.A., they ended up going up to the Bay Area because that's where the scene was. So it was a big hot spot for thrash metal back then. On this particular record, because they have had some members like come and go, some passed away more recent years. But on this record, we had Michael Koons on vocals, Phil Kettner on guitars, Aaron Jellum on guitars, Victor Agnello on drums. He passed away in 2014 from leukemia, I believe.
Oh, my God.
And then Willie Lang on bass, who passed away in 2018 after a motorcycle accident. So, rest in peace, those guys. Now, this band, they had been on kind of like a hiatus after about the early to mid 90s, and they kind of just taken a break. And then about 2008, they reunited in 2005, I think, and in 2008 they released Left 4 Dead, which was a very solid record. But then they kind of went dormant again. That's, of course, when some of the members passed away. But apparently, the band isn't really listed as disbanded. So, like, they could be working on more material. I don't know. Sometimes I thought I had read that they were just going to disband because, you know, without the original members, it wasn't really worth doing. But who knows? But here we are 15 years later or so. So I don't know if they've, you know, because everybody gets older and it's tougher to kind of keep that energy up.
And plus the style of music that they are and the scene that they were in, you know, 1989, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's only like 10 years ago. But let's take a step back. It's 2024 now.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, you know, we know Norman, who is now the singer of Forbidden. So they're playing Maryland Death Fest this year, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I saw Forbidden way back in the day with the original singer, Russ. But with Norman, like, you know, I've known him for a few years now from Niviani and his solo work. So great front man, great singer, and so I'm excited to see him with classic.
I know.
But, I mean, I would love to see Laws, like, you know, find a way to get some members in there and come back and play Maryland Death Fest. That would be so awesome, because it's kind of, Maryland Death Fest has a lot of different stuff going on. It's mainly a death festival, but it has these special appearances by these bands that oftentimes will either do a specific album in their catalog, or they'll have like a band that's sort of kind of reunited for a little while and come out and just showcase on the Maryland Death Fest.
I mean, but we can think about the bands that we've seen that necessarily are not death, but they're metal.
Well,
you know,
it's branched out since their early years of the festival.
I mean,
so
there was a time like this festival is so big that we have friends in other countries to come visit us. When it first started, I remember he and I were, I think it was when we were living in our apartment, and you're like, hey, let's go check out this Maryland Death Fest. It's down at, I forgot the name of that shitty-ass bar, too.
Yeah, Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And it's in a horrible part of town, and we've been there before.
It was small, man. It was very small.
It was so small. It was a one-day thing, and I said, I am not driving down to Thunderdome where there's nowhere to park. I'm going to park my car on the street. It'll get stripped by the time I'm out there. A bunch of, you know, homeless people. No, we're not going. I'm not wasting my time. And then maybe 4 years later, that's when they had it at Sonar, and that's when it started, like, really picking up. And the Sonar days, in my mind, were just great memories,
right?
Like, now it's gotten to the point where it's so huge that they've got it in our major, like, concert venues, which is fine. But those Sonar days, man, where you had it in the parking lot and it was just like one stage, I have a special nostalgic feel for that, because that was what, 2008?
8 and 9, yeah.
That we, you know, a couple of our friends from out of town came to stay. We had only been in our home for about 2 years, so we were still really young, and they were all young, and people are just, like, sleeping on the couch and sleeping on the futons. It was just, like, it felt like what a bunch of 20-somethings do. You know, we were the only married people. We were everybody.
That was a big party.
It was, oh, God, we stayed up all night all the time. Oh.
But, you know, this record, along with the one previously, Know Your Enemy, was really kind of like a couple of, like, they really start saying a lot about war issues and politics and stuff like that. This album also has a Dead Kennedys cover, which we'll get to eventually. But, yeah, so let's get rolling here. First track up, this is the one they did a video for the record, and it's called Fire in the Hole.
Ooh.
Living in constant fear, no control. How to stop your dragon?
Well, that fucking ripped.
Yeah. Great opener.
You know what? It's something that we forget nowadays because of the way music is kind of like developed and formed. People are looking for singles now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a single was just like a sampling off of your album. But artists, I would say up until maybe like 2010, 2015, they wanted a complete album. They really thought about the order of their songs. They thought about like how this would present to their listeners. So they would be like, boom, this is my opening. And it's almost like, you know, when you go to a concert or a show, they kind of formulate what songs they're playing because they want to get you hyped up at the beginning. And then they kind of put in a little bit of variety. And then the end, you know, is always going to be a banger because you want like their hits, their best mm-hmm. of their best. Even when we went to see Iron Maiden, they were playing the whole Seventh Son of a Seventh Son album, but they did not. They played Number of the Beast. They played
Wasted
Years. That was their whole like closing like 30 minutes was their hits, and that was a hell of a concert. We had Alice Cooper opening up. He did all his hits, and then he did the whole decapitate himself thing. Great, great, great stage show. And then we got Iron Maiden, and of course, you know, they did the entire album, but they didn't disappoint. They put in the hits for us, too.
Yep. Yeah, so, and it's one thing you kind of worry, because at one point at Ozfest, they didn't really want to play the hits. You know, they were talking about, we have so much more material we want to play, which is true, but, you know, people do go to concerts to see you play the songs that they're familiar with.
Well, we went to see Judas Priest multiple times in, like, a couple-year period.
Priest always plays their hits.
But they play for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a real concert. Like, truthfully for me, when it comes to concerts, I'd rather just see like a headliner and like one opener, like we did with Ghost. Because Ghost played almost everything off those first 3 records, and then they just had one band open. I was like, that's good enough. Because, you know, that means you're putting the work in. Like,
that was Iron Maiden and Priest, too. Yeah. I forgot who opened for Iron Maiden, but I think it was Queensryche.
Was it Maiden?
Yeah, not Maiden, Priest.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was Queensryche, but it was like a quick, you know, like they both.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, yeah, you don't want to, cuz see, if you're worried about time, cuz bands like that have been around forever, they're going to play like 2.5 to 3 hours. So you're going to definitely want them to have that time a lot if you got too many bands.
How was Slayer?
Slayer was great. Which is funny because that was
supposedly their farewell tour, but aren't they coming back? Aren't they going to do another tour?
I have no idea, but, you know, Motley Crue says they keep going away and they keep coming back, but Cannibal Corpse, that was the funniest thing. They played literally for 10 or 15 minutes and they were done. Like, I mean, it was great to hear Hammer Smash Face, but it's like, dude, they were like on and off. But you had Lamb of God, Amon Amarth, just like,
I was on a boat. Anthrax?
No. Shit. How am I forgetting this?
Cannibal Corpse, Amon Amarth.
I said Lamb of God, right?
Lamb of God.
Yeah, that's who that was. But, and yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Lamb of God either.
I've seen them like 2 or 3 times.
When did we see them? Were they
at Ozfest, probably, because...
That's right. That's right.
I think
right.
They were the year that Cradle of Filth was there.
That was a good show, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I feel like we were starved for like a big concert because we, over the years, have really kind of scaled back on a big concert. That was 2000.
Well, that's what really became the thing that we've been doing the last 15 years. And so
honestly, too, like, 2019 was it 2019 or was it? Yeah, it was 2019. Was the Slayer,
mm-hmm.
and then what happened in 2020? Everything shut down for 2 years. So now it's hard. They're really trying to get the word out. Like last year, bands were trying to tour again.
But that was always a problem because bands rely on the tours and the mm-hmm. vendors and stuff because they don't get a lot from management because those sales that happen with the CDs and stuff go right to the management and the label.
And so, a lot of times when it is a larger
but they
venue,
charge you, dude. Those shirts were not cheap.
I know. I have mine upstairs. Thank you.
Fucking nuts.
But they
were almost 40 to 50 bucks a piece.
Yeah, for a t-shirt.
God. Yeah, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
But you think about it, like, you know, Iron Maiden and all these other bands, like, you can even go into pop bands. Like, think about the kind of shit that, like, Michael Jackson and Prince and, like, even nowadays, like, with Taylor Swift, the shit that they take with them, like, to do these world tours, and the expense it is on them to get their shit over there. I mean, Iron Maiden has their own plane, you know. I know some of them had their own planes,
well, that's the thing, like, you know, you and I, we go to, like, a lot more smaller venues now for bands, like, a lot of local friends and stuff, so...
And that's the idea, you know?
Well, I just, one, you're supporting them, but two, it's, like, much cheaper. You can pay, like, even if you have, like, four or five bands, it's, like, $15 to $20. Like, it's nothing.
And we're getting ready May the 12th to see our friends in Desolus to do their album release.
I'm so excited for them.
I'm very proud of them.
I don't know if you saw the post, but John and Nomos, they're getting ready to go to Japan.
Good for them. And they're going to be great in Japan. Like,
Japan has a lot of diehard fans. Mm-hmm. Like, they love metal over there. So
I am so excited for all of our friends who've been grinding for these years to, like, you know, get into these shows, and they travel in their van, and their van breaks down, and then their trailer is all fucked up, and they sleep in the van, or they sleep in, like, a shitty motel every 3 days, and it's insane the amount of work that they put into it. And then, you know, when we were talking to Chris the other day, he's part of Nomos, but he's also part of what do you call it?
Condemned the Infected.
Thank you, Condemned the Infected. And they're a great band too, but it's like life gets in the way. You know, you're trying.
Plus that, plus, like, really, because he and the singer, they're really the only two guys in the band, I think, at the moment. Henry is part of it, but
he can't, like, and
Henry's a major part of Nomos. So, like, you go where basically the band that's touring and doing all the work, that's where you stay. That's
Henry's,
where
like, the drummer. Like,
the funny thing is, like, it's so weird because Nomos has gone through a couple bassists, and you keep thinking they're going to find the guy that's going to stick, but Chris has always been that guy that ends up coming back.
He just comes back, and he's like, okay, I'll pick it up.
He's a hell of a bassist and actually a hell of a guitarist, so, like, you know, I'm happy for him, too. You know, it's nice to see him and the lady. Hadn't seen him in a while, but... Yeah, so, I mean, it's just good to see these guys getting, you know, their just due, because they are a great band. They put out their debut record about a year or two ago.
They've really found their sound. They've really found their groove. They've got a really great, you know,
got
atmosphere.
A good following. They were at MDF last year. And then, for the first time, so that was a lot of fun. They actually packed that house.
Like, yeah, they did.
Because they were the first band to play.
And that's hard to do on the opening night of the festival. Yeah. And, you know, we're seeing Desolus following in their footsteps. They're really, you know, and it's funny because I forget that they're so young. Because they are. They're much, they could be our child.
But the thing is, like, Vivek, you know, he's like...
He's a fucking pilot.
He's a, like, pilot for planes. He can fly planes.
I'm so proud of all of them, and that's why we go to the small shows.
Yep.
Because that is intimate.
Well, anyway, this second track, Mob Justice, is my favorite off the album.
I know this song!
She knows this one. I've always put it on her little...
My little
playlists. Yeah. So, yeah, here, let's go. Track two, Mob Justice.
Yeah. It's mob justice.
Yeah.
That's like one of the... It's one of your songs. Like, yeah,
it's always a go-to. It's probably one I put on that disc where it had the Painkiller on there. And you're saying, have you heard Painkiller before?
Oh, my God. I'm sure we've told this story, but yeah, he was just so happy to have met me. God, that sounds really arrogant. But when we first met, he didn't realize that I was into metal. He didn't realize that I liked Kung Fu and Godzilla and horror movies and stuff. He just thought I was this nice, prim and proper, like, girly girl, which I am to a point, but I have my, you know, dark side. And
dark side.
I appreciated every song he sent me. And I remember on our first date, I got into his vehicle and I think it was Sepultura was playing Brutes Bloody Roots. And I was like, oh, is this Sepultura? And he just like did a double take at me. And
you know Sepultura?
I'm like, and he's looking at me. And I remember exactly what I wore for our first date. It was this pink like top. Nothing special. It was just a plain pink top and a pair of capri jeans. And then I wore, I don't know if you guys are probably guys, but they're these wooden shoes that have leather straps. And I used to wear super high heels all the time when I was younger, and they're called candies. And that's what I looked like. Just a girly girl.
She's way different now.
Well, I mean, I dress like a 15-year-old dresses now. I wear hoodies and jeans and sneakers.
Metal shirts.
And
I've corrupted her.
He did. I'm wearing my Wednesday 13 shirt right now. I haven't worn it in a while. And I was like, oh, I'll pull this baby out. But
pussy killer.
But it was great that he just shared things with me that he knew I would either at least appreciate, because I liked metal. But I also was, you got to remember, this is when the internet was a baby, and you only got, like, there wasn't just this access that people have nowadays. Like, you just kind of had to really, like, he used to subscribe to all these magazines and stuff, and he would share things with me, and some stuff I still am not a huge fan of, but, like, I appreciate all of the songs, and that's
the thought behind it.
Exactly. He would always, like, burn me CDs to play in my car, and he'd put like "For Missy" or mm-hmm. "For You My Love" or just something cute on the outside in Sharpie. And or he would get really creative and he would get blank jewel cases and print up his own album covers with the songs on the back. That was the best.
Yeah. Well, this track 3 is called Chain of Fools, and this song
is
actually
this the Aretha Franklin song?
I doubt it.
That's a song though.
But this song lyrically is one that I always use when I got like cheating girlfriends and fucking fair-weathered friends.
Wait a minute, that sounds like Aretha.
Well, it would have told me if it was Aretha Franklin. I doubt it. But you know, you can always look up the lyrics for it and see if it is, but I doubt it. There's only one cover I'm aware of. But anyway, this is one that I always like to use against my enemies. This is called Chain of Fools.
Alrighty. that song too.
Hell yeah, man. Such a great album, great band.
I'm really glad that we do this because, again, as we've gotten older and we've, you know, collected our favorite songs, we sort of mix things up, right? Like,
oh yeah,
we were like, okay, I'm gonna go here, here, and here. And just, again, the way that the world listens to music now, it's Spotify, it's a mix of things constantly. I love that I'm sitting here with you listening to an album from beginning to end. And really, I mean, don't you remember doing that when you were a teenager? Like, you'd buy an album and you'd put it on and with your friends.
All I did was just drive around.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember when Pantera released Cowboys from Hell, I just played the shit out of that and drove around fucking for hours.
I did the same thing with my friends with Korn's Life is Peachy. I recently confessed to DJ Anubis that I have a crush on Jonathan Davis. So if you're out there and you're willing, I'm here, Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis.
Mr. Davis.
Dr. Davis.
And I think the part of that is because I feel lucky. I mean, I know, I don't know how people feel about Korn. Maybe it's just me that has a sweet spot in it. But I was with Korn from the beginning, you know, like, so I felt such a connection to them.
Well, I think the funny thing is that, as I've seen over the last 20 years, is people become, metal fans in general, become more open to different bands now. One thing that we always state is that, you know, it's not like nu metal is like my preferred genre, but when it does come to that genre of bands I want to listen to, it's usually the OG. So, yes, I like Limp Bizkit, I like some of their stuff. I like Korn, I like Deftones, even though I like more later Deftones stuff that's more like post-rock.
You like Static X, but Static X is nu metal and industrial kind of combined.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, when I'm in the mood, I don't mind listening to that stuff at all. But... yeah, so I mean, but you know, obviously thrash and death is more my speed for the 90% of the time that I'm listening. Usually I just drum my phone on random and then even play classic rock, 80s rock, whatever.
We have fun when we play racquetball. We get our little speaker and just put his phone on random, and some of the shit, like one time it was Loverboy. I was like, yeah.
Turn me loose.
Anyway, music is just great, isn't it?
It is. It's why we do this. We go back through different records that we really like and enjoy. I mean, one day you may hear us do Pink Floyd or something. Like, it's just, that's the way that we do this.
I mean, like, just like we did with some of the bands Who Are They? You know, mm-hmm. I had never listened to Who Are They.
And funny thing is,
and then we got to interview them.
That opened the door to interview them. Yeah, that was such a great time. Those guys are very cool. I really enjoyed talking to them. And
they were like, you guys, you really get our album. Yeah. We're like, yeah, we like, because I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get this vibe about this and that. And they're like, you totally get it. Oh, my God. And they listened to the whole, like, the whole podcast, because we were just, but DJ Anubis, when he ranked it, like, it's one of his favorite albums, mm-hmm. the 1 year. And we try to keep up with them on Facebook and social media to see what they're working on. But again, like life, they have wives and kids, and they come together, and some of them, like, even work remotely. Like, they'll send their parts to each other and then they mix it together. I mean, it's amazing what bands can do. So what's the next song that's on this list?
So track 4 is a song called Shadow Company, and let's get into it. Thank you.
That was pretty badass. It was like...
Well, what I like about it is, like, especially at the beginning, it's almost like during that time there was a lot of bands on their records doing, like, Metallica, Testament or whatever. They do these, like, acoustic openings.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
with the guitar. And then, of course, at the end, they have a little bit of bass action there closing it out.
It was funny. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and he's always kind of said the same thing about me that you have. And this is my buddy. I call him Lil TJ. He and I, like, when we left one place together and went to another place. And when he first started at my previous company, I mean, he's got to be like 17 years younger than me. So I always joke, I'm like, you know, I could be your mom, you know, and he just laughs. But I always have, like, looked out for him. And, you know, when he found out that I'm going to death metal concerts and he finds out that I love all this, like, crazy, disgusting, you know, things. And he's like, you look at her and you're like, wow, she's just so, like, normal and chill. And then he said, I remember I was worried about playing some, like, Metallica Fade to Black while we were out in the warehouse one time. And then I find out she listens to, like, Cannibal Corpse. So it was just fun. Like, I really love, again, music, but I love just the whole idea of how bands can get, just as we just said, like, you can go from Metallica Fade to Black to, like, you know, Master of Puppets or whatever, just like this. You got that super hyped up, like, the first song on this album is like, it's the hype machine. And then you've got your banger, Mob Justice, and now you've got this, like, we're four songs in, right? And it's kind of like, all right, this is, like, the chill, we got the cool outro, all the, like...
Yeah, it just kind of changes it up a little bit.
I love that, and I feel like even if you're not a fan of, quote-unquote, new Metallica, because... It just does prove, though, that musicians can, you know, they're musicians. They can change.
Well, there's a funny story, and it's funny that you mentioned that. So, you know Dragon Force.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They actually just released a new record. I've never been the biggest Dragon Force fan, but that's because I'm not a big power metal guy outside of a certain few songs. But a few years ago, during COVID, you know, a lot of these bands and musicians were doing stuff online.
Oh, yeah, they were doing, like, the Zoom, whatever, like, yeah.
Doing collaborations for covers and stuff. So, anyway, I don't know how it got on the topic, but one of the guys from Dragon Force said, it's so easy to write a pop song, and then he started getting all this hate. And so they're like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, yeah, sure, you're talented, but, like, you know, pop songs aren't easy to make. He said, hold that thought.
Hold my beer.
He said, and literally in 10 minutes, he made a pop song right there. Just wrote it.
And who did he send it to?
Just for everybody. He played it right out. He was doing live. He's like, yeah, I'll write you one right now. And so, like...
That's like a musician. Like, that just proves now, he's a musician.
Yeah, so he's not... He really wasn't trying to hate on anybody, but he's like, you know, pop music is there for a reason because it's easy to digest. Metal, like, people that know metal and in the metal scene, they understand it.
They got the complicated riffs.
It's a little more complex, you know. I mean, even if you're a new metal person, like, System of a Down, dude, those arrangements are very obscure and crazy. So, like...
It kind of reminds me, if you want to get into,
Surge's,
like...
Surge's singing, like, dude, that's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. And the style kind of reminds me, because it's kind of like chunky or like,
yeah,
it gives me like a feeling, and this is like music nerdy, but like Baroque music. Mm-hmm. You know, like Johann Sebastian Bach, like very, you know, in Baroque music, they were really into the harpsichord. So it was like that.
Weird Al.
No. He's the accordion. No, the harpsichord is like a piano, but instead of like hitting the strings, it plucks the strings. And that's why you, like, when you watch Pirates of the Caribbean and they're like playing the piano, it kind of sounds like that piratey sound. And that's in Baroque music, they did that a lot too. And that gives it that like chunky chinky 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 ding, 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 ding. Anyway,
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, I just nerding said, out.
The album's kind of like starting to...
hit its stride.
Well, it's hitting its stride, but it's also starting to do some different things. And now we're down to Holiday in Cambodia, which is a Kennedy's cover. Initially, when I heard this record, I thought this was original, too.
No,
like,
it's
I just
not.
Thought it was something fun they were doing. Because at the time, like, you...
This is a huge... Like, everybody covers this song
now. See, I was never a punk fan, so I never was aware of the actual tune. And because I had heard, like, bands like Atrophy, who... Or even if you take Anthrax with I Am the Man, that's an original thing. Or Atrophy doing the Beer Bong song. Like, that's all original stuff. So, when I heard this, I'm like, well, this is just probably them goofing off and fun. But it turns out, obviously, it's a cover. And it's a pretty damn good cover. I still like playing it a lot. So, here, I believe track 5 is Holiday in Cambodia.
I was kind of saying to DJ Anubis, like, this is, like, the best cover of Holiday in Cambodia, I think, that I've heard, personally. Now, I don't know if anybody else agrees, but I like the Dead Kennedys, I like punk, more than DJ Anubis, but I also like metal, and I like how they metaled it up. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just, like, a direct kind of ripoff. It was more like, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to still give it the same kind of, like, feeling. I'm going to give it, like, this, you know how, like, a lot of times when you're slam dancing or skanking to punk, you still kind of feel that when they play it, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
All right, so going into track 6, this song is called Bad Blood, and from the from what I can tell from the lyrical content, it seems like it may be about Jack the Ripper.
Ooh, nice.
But, because it does mention London at Bay and then also Ladies of the Night, so I'm assuming that this has a little bit to do with Jack the Ripper.
And I have never heard this song, so crank it.
Crank it!
We'll be right back.
really into the Matthew McConaughey, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been using that a lot because you always make fun of me for doing all right.
All right.
So now I'm just doing it. All right, all right, all right.
What up, everybody? DJ Anubis here.
Yeah, yeah. My go-to. I'm not original, let me tell you.
Yes, you are. That's your saying. That's my thing. I'm not. That doesn't make you unoriginal.
All right.
It just makes you you, and that's awesome because I love you.
Oh, God. Here we go. All right. So, track 7 now.
Okay. What's the name of this one?
Clearly, this is about Vietnam because it's called Chasing Charlie. And as I said, the band itself sings a lot about war issues and topics and whatnot. So,
what I really found interesting about, you know, I mean, it's not just this band, but specifically, they have a sound, and that is so corny. But they have you. When you hear them, you know it's them. Just like, you know what I mean? Like AC/DC.
Yeah,
you know it's
Kearns
them.
Michael has like a specific type of voice, so yeah. But, you know, like Ozzy does and Peter Steele used to have, Dio, you know, certain singers have their unique.
But it's not just the voice, it's the style of music, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you, they have a sound. It's just a whole cohesive unit that really makes the band complete.
Right.
Oh, God, I sound... let's listen to some more music. I gotta stop.
Here's Chasing Charlie. We'll love how we're like bitching about work still.
I know. What I've been doing, because we have our vacation scheduled for Maryland Death Fest, I have been taking and putting a little note to myself, like X amount of work days until vacation, X amount of work days. So
that's bad when you gotta like just start crossing off days till.
But it gives me the motivation not to strangle anybody. And this whole week, I was really, really shitty. And I'm not a shitty person. You know me. Mm-hmm.
You're usually very happy-go-lucky. And,
I have been
people
just,
love that energy about you.
I have been in a shitty, shitty mood. I don't like when people can skate by and
not do their job
and then expect me with technically what my position is titled to do some things for them when they're like three levels above me. Anyhow, I'm not going to get angry about that. So I've been saying to myself, like, I have been working like a dog. I have not taken hardly any time off. I took my birthday off. I genuinely got sick in January. You and I both did. But I still worked from home 2 days out of that week. And then that Monday after the funeral, after we found out about his passing, I can't remember which day it was that
Blake
and I took the day off because I was just not in a good mental state and I had a really bad headache. But here's the thing. I've got like 80 hours of PTO stored up. So they're not going to say anything for me to take a personal day. So let's do the math. Between July and now, I've taken 3 personal days. 3.
And a lot of times you're still working.
And I still work usually when I'm, but I didn't.
Because people keep coming to ask you questions. They should know. They should either go to one of their bosses, which works with you, which you've been having issues with, but then they don't, so they come to you because you do know, but it's not your job.
It's not my job. Yeah. And the irritating thing for a long time, and I didn't know this, they had my personal cell phone listed in the company directory. Personal. And that's why I was getting personal phone calls from people. And I'm like, did I give you my phone number? Like, I was like, I couldn't remember. And then one guy told me, he's like, this is your personal cell? I was like, yeah. He's like, it's listed in the corporate directory. And I'm like, that's some bullshit. So I got that. It took a while, but I got that shit shut down as fast as I could. But that's why, like, I'm like, the month of December, I had off Christmas and December 29th. And you know it's true. I worked pretty much every single day. And that's why, like, I get irritated. I said something to the person today at work who I like, but is just the one, you know. We had this big, you know, implementation, and homeboy goes on vacation like 2 weeks into it, and he was gone for like, you know, 14 days, and then he got sick, and then his grandmother died, and all of these things compounded. I understand you are entitled, yeah, you're entitled to your PTO, but he is a manager, and he does not participate in all the things that I do. So I mentioned to him, I'm like, yeah, I'm just sorry I'm so crabby, because I have been really crabby to him, and I feel bad because he is a nice guy, but he's not good at his job. And I said, you know, I've just been crabby this week, so I've been counting down the days to my vacation in May.
And this is why thrash is important.
Exactly. And then he had the gall to tell me, he's like, oh crap, I have a vacation planned in May too. And I'm like,
too late, me first.
I really, if anything happens,
she's gonna lose her shit.
Beyond, if anything happens, I'm gonna be like, that's it, I'm done. I am working to my title, not to my abilities anymore, and that will be.
So we will dedicate track 8 to Necco.
What is it? What is it called?
Mirror to Madness.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. is up, everybody?
We are down to the last track, track 9.
Oh, this makes sense because that is like a perfect, you know, let's get ready, let's get this party closed kind of.
Yeah, but it's different about this particular album is that the ballad is at the last song. But it's like one of the best songs I've ever heard ballad-wise, lyrically. Pushes emotions with me a little bit, even though not everything kind of ties to me personally, because it's more again about losing somebody through war and stuff like that.
Are you gonna cry? You gonna squirt some?
Might squirt some. Might. Getting all choked up now. But yeah, we'll be back to talk about after it, but just to get Necco's thoughts on the record as a whole. But this is called The Omen, and it's such a beautiful song, beautifully written. And again, one of my favorite tracks, especially when it comes to ballads from thrash bands. So here we go.
Life.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like,
very pretty song.
Really beautiful.
So overall, how do you feel about the record?
I love the record. Like, a lot. I didn't know they...
So you think it's worthy of me being my favorite of the band?
One of your classic
yes, classic. Like a dill pickle.
I would like a dill pickle right now in my mouth.
Yeah, see, I shouldn't go down that road because this always happens.
What, my dirty mind?
Sexual innuendos.
Innuendos.
Yeah.
I absolutely enjoy doing this with you because, you know, there's something about, if the listeners out there don't realize, we were 100% podcast for like how many years?
Yeah, so...
And if you go back on our Podbean, you can go back years and years and listen to our podcasts.
Yeah, so I think I started this, like the audio portion, maybe 2017 or 18.
I feel like it was longer than that.
Well, I've had the radio since 2012, but it was more like a blog and then the radio. But then we kind of switched straight to podcasts. And we still had the radio going 24/7, but the podcast was more audio. And then we got the website around 2019, to which we then...
I'm trying to think. No, it was like 2020 or 2021.
Okay, so somewhere in that range. And then, you know, then we switched over to YouTube mainly. But this is kind of nice to kind of go back and still do audio and go through this type of records and stuff like that and just have fun listening and talking about it and different stuff. We talk about different topics, too, because things will... Whenever you listen to me, sometimes it reminds you of things in your life or whatever, but it's just nice to go back and revisit these records in full. Like, sometimes you can just say, hey, let's just play a couple of tracks, but no, we like to play the whole thing. And
I appreciate it.
And then you have stuff like the King Diamond one where it's actually a story and you can kind of have fun just talking about what he's thinking and the story.
And I don't know how many times I've listened to so many King Diamond albums front to back, and I remember...
Yeah, God forbid if we ever do a Ghost album, she's going to go nuts.
But see, I haven't kept up with Ghost in the last couple of years, so if we did the early stuff, I would be...
That's what I mean.
Digging deep. I was studying the lyrics, and I was
went down the rabbit hole.
I went down the Ghost nerd hole, and I'm like, listen, I'm Catholic, or was formerly Catholic, and I went to catechism, and I understand all of these. This is what this means, and that's why he titled this, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, where the fuck do you find these things? And I'm like, I'm just thinking about this, and I love a nice deep dive every now and then. It's exactly what we did today. I'd never listened to this album front to back, ever. And I'm happy that we did. Because, number one, loved the cover of Holiday in Cambodia.
Yeah.
And I've never heard the, what was the final song's name?
The Omen.
Yeah, I've never heard the song The Omen at all. And you were right. It's hauntingly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If that's cliche, I know, but...
Yep. It's perfect spot on how I feel about it. And it's touching. And
Is it as touching as Tiny Tears?
More touching than Tiny Tears, believe it or not.
Okay. All right,
that's
then.
Something we've never done yet as a Devin album. But
we haven't done a Devin or
But I think the next
song
we are going to do is one we're kind of batting around is the self-titled by Wasp. I think we're going to go hard rock.
Can't I pick one?
What? Are we going to? You can, but like...
I'm going to pick a metal or rock album.
So yeah, we'll see what she comes up with. But if I don't feel it's classic, then what happens?
I cry.
She looks at me like... I mean, we'll see. Because I know there's a lot... No, I mean, you'll be able to pick, but like, I might feel it is a classic record. That's my point. So, yeah, because she likes a lot of stuff I do. I mean, she could say Painkiller, and that'd be a classic record. You know what I mean? But too easy, right? Too easy.
No, I was going to dig deep. But
dig deep then. I'd be curious. Dig deep.
I'm thinking like maybe the Wisconsin Death Trip or Korn's first album. Those are two like meaningful albums to me. And
well, both are classic, but I'd probably lean more towards the self-titled by Korn. That one's, I mean, technically, the first three are great records, but that first one...
Those first three albums I played on fucking repeat, nonstop, before I even met you. Like, because this came out in the early 90s to 98, so,
right,
like...
Right.
I mean, like... The other reason, like, the Wisconsin Death Trip, like, really spoke to me, as I say. But I... There is a book called The Wisconsin Death Trip.
Based off of a murder or something else.
No. So, the book is more like photojournalism. And what happens, you got to think back in the day before there was, like, central heating and everything. It gets so cold and so dark during winter that people went fucking crazy in those Midwestern areas.
Well, that didn't shock me.
And the Wisconsin Death Trip is a photojournalism type, like, deep dive study of what was going on back in the day. And there were people, yes, murders. There were just children dying from cold, starvation, etc. And this book
says Wisconsin Death Trip charts a myriad of numerous grim and bizarre occurrences. I think we're going to do that because that is very interesting, like, just topic wise.
And I've been trying to find that book.
Yeah.
And it was a very limited print. So that's what makes it even more cool and obscure, because it's Static X, their very first album, decided to take this obscure photojournalistic book and name it their album. And then I remember on the front, look up the Wisconsin Death Trip.
I see it.
So they take, like, a picture from the book Wisconsin Death Trip and put it as their album cover. I don't know why they did that. I've never really looked and decided why they did that, but
yeah, just by judging some of the Wikipedia information, like, it's got a lot of interesting key points. Like, I love the Korn album a lot, but I think for topic discussion, this would be kind of fun to dive into, because I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong, I don't think all the songs really apply to this topic, but it is something that Static X used as their name of the album.
It's kind of like maybe their inspiration. Maybe they took this book and all the unusual things that happened and turned it into an industrial, like, you know. So that's kind of why I know it's their, both of those are Korn's album and Static X's album are their first albums, and they both hold very deep places in my heart. But I really just, I want that book, The Wisconsin Death Trip, and every time I look it up or try to find it, I don't think it's in print anymore. It was only available in hardback, and it is,
yeah, it came out in 1973.
Mm-hmm. So I really am interested, because you can go online and look at the pictures and read the stories, but it's just something that somebody took the time back in 1973, where there was no internet and you had to use the card catalog and microfiche to find these stories out. That author took the time to do the research, is like, okay, why is it during, like, October to April there are so many deaths, and why did this happen? And the thing that, because again, I've seen a lot of the pictures on the internet.
Well, let's save that for the top.
Well, final thoughts is, I don't understand why, and again, early film was a lot different than, you know, we can take a digital picture and take 8,000 pictures. You would take, film used to be like a chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you would take pictures for a very specific reason, especially turn of the century, 1900s. There were so many photos of funerals and caskets of children in this book. And it blew my mind. Again, I don't have the book. I saw photos on the internet of this, and it's almost like, because they used to have to do the long exposure and their eyes are still open, and then there's babies, and I'm like,
haunting.
It's very creepy, and that kind of gives some of the Static X, you know, sound a little bit creepy, a little bit industrial, a little bit, like, hyped up. So I'm wondering what kind of information I can find about Static X's influence from the Wisconsin Death Trip. So that was my...
All right.
You like that? Is that kind of interesting?
Yep. All right, cool. Like a good one to go,
Well, I am really happy
that we talked about Laz Rocket, and I'm really happy I listened to the whole album, because again, never have. I've
didn't know about Laz Rocket until I met you. That's how sad this is. So
I am happy that we did this, and I'm really happy that we're podcasting again. And
hope you all enjoyed this.
I enjoyed
definitely, it. Great record. I know a lot of the diehard metalheads will enjoy the record, so give us your thoughts.
Yes,
I'm
going to
get this up on YouTube, of course, and then you can listen to it at your leisure, and then just let us know how you feel with the record. Is it your favorite record of their catalog, or do you have others?
Do you like Laz Rocket? Have you heard of Laz Rocket? Are you like me when I met DJ Anubis in 2002, and I'm like, who is it? What is it? What?
Anyway, we will see you next time here on the Metal Time Radio Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
See ya.